Father, we come to you now and we ask that, Lord, as the disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would move in our hearts to desire to be with you more, to pray more earnestly, pray with greater hope and greater passion, because in whom we pray to. And Father, I pray that you would move by your Spirit now. Move in this church to give us a greater heart to pray. Lord, help us to pray beyond our selfish needs, Lord, and our trivial, shallow needs, that we might go deep by what you teach us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Just making a little diversion, it's supposed to have been one Bible study, and in the interest of doing shorter Bible studies, it's became two, so it'll be next week also. And we're going to do a relevant and real series where we do practical topics according to where we're at, according to where we're going, or according to cultural need. So that'll be the relevant and real series. We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and finish out the book of Ephesians and spiritual warfare in the last Sunday of November. I'll do this part two next Sunday, and then Saul will teach the third Sunday of every month, and then the fourth Sunday I'll come back and begin spiritual warfare. So this is the relevant real series, and it's, why is it relevant for us today? Well, because we're about to start opposite weeks of COGS in Swansea and in Lochar, prayer meeting, prayer-focused meeting. We also pray at the end of each COG, and we pray sometimes openly here as the Spirit leads in the congregation. Anytime you want to pray during worship, pray out loud. You have the freedom to do that. But I believe that we need to be better at prayer. I remember every time I would hear a message on prayer, I was always thankful. I think, oh, that's always good to have somebody's listening beside. Thank you very much. You know, when I would hear a message on prayer, I was always thankful. And I always felt like, wow, you know, we need one of those annually. Just an annual prayer message boost. A booster shot or something. And I was always thankful because it encouraged me to pray more. And I hope it does the same for you here. I think we lack in prayer as a church. And I think this will help us. God said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And he's called us to pray. He prayed. And so we should take a clue from that. That we need to have what the title of the message is for the next two Sundays. Is the necessity of prayer. Jesus prayed often, and we should take an example from that. I'll give you a few quotes from the Bible and from others. And one of the verses the Bible says about prayer is, "You have not, for you ask not." And sometimes you have not because you ask amiss, because you ask for your own selfish needs, basically. If I were to evaluate prayer of most of us, if not, you know, a large portion of us, we begin with our selfish needs that are already probably provided in Christ Jesus already. Not that you shouldn't pray for them. It even says here to pray for your provision. But so often are our prayers beginning with me. I, me, and give me, and give heal my cold, and all these things. And I think as we see in this model for prayer that Jesus gives us, he's going to teach us so much more in depth. And I'm sure you're going to find something greatly missing from your own prayer life. You have not for you ask not. And sometimes you have not because you ask amiss for yourself only. So Jesus is telling us you need to ask. He wants you to ask. He also says he knows what you need before you ask. I'm getting a lot of backfeed still. Do you hear it? In front of the speakers, maybe that's it. So if he knows what you need before you ask, why do you need to pray? Well, because he told you to pray. He prayed. He's all-knowing God come in the flesh, and he prayed. That should give us a real clue. Plus, he told us to pray. And plus, we're going to see here that the disciples asked, teach us to pray. The Bible in Thessalonians also says to pray without ceasing, to be in a constant attitude of prayer. Prayer is basic and fundamental to the Christian life, and yet it is something that is often amiss in our own lives. David Guzik said this. He said, prayer is so simple that a child can pray. Well, can we cut off my mic? I would rather get a recording than be amplified. I'd rather cut off amplification and get a recording. Prayer is so simple that a child can pray, but it is so great that the mightiest man of God cannot be said to truly have mastered prayer. Let me say that again with all the interruptions. I want a copy of this. It's more important than the amplification, you understand? So I want to cut it and move a record. Prayer is so simple that a child can pray, but it is so great that the mightiest man of God cannot be said to truly have mastered prayer. You see, we always can be growing in our prayer life. And it's something we always need to be adjusting for and evaluating. And prayer is a struggle. It's a spiritual thing. There's a fight, especially in Western culture today, when we're so busy and have so many blessings that we're busy maintaining all of our blessings that we have no time from whom all blessings flow. It's so sad, but it's true. And all throughout the Bible, we see the same thing. When God blesses Israel, they fall away. In time of trial and trouble, they draw near. The story is the same. When time of blessing, we fall away. We move away from God instead of near because we're self-sufficient, we feel. Yet it's from whom all blessings flow, and we are losing the attitude of it. Praise to Him for all you have, and taking time to do that. J. Vernon McGee said this about prayer. The barren lives of Christians and the deadness of the church today are the result of prayerlessness. That is our problem. So the urgency and need, the necessity of prayer is what we're going to talk about today. And they're going to talk about two things today. The priority of prayer, the person of God in prayer. And next week we'll look at purposes of God in prayer and the personal needs in prayer. Let's read the text, Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now this prayer was never meant to be recited. this is not what you pray that prayer there. It's a model for what your prayer should contain. Now all you kids who go to Pengethly school or Pentlagare school, you say this prayer often. I'm going to be teaching on it in your school. But you recite this prayer, but don't go back and tell your teachers, my pastor said we're not supposed to recite this. This is what some churches do, some schools do, but that is not what was intended. What is intended is a model for prayer to help you to pray and to know what to pray for. The disciples were asking, they saw Jesus pray at the greatest hour of need in his life. They saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane and they took notice of all his prayers. They noticed that Jesus had something special and they noticed it was linked to prayer. Do you know how profound that is? They noticed that Jesus had something special and they linked it to his prayer life. Let's look at the first verse here and see what we can learn from that. The priority of prayer. Verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So let's look at this. They watched him pray and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They said here that John prayed. He taught his disciples to pray. Now think about it. Jesus is God come in the flesh and he prayed. Don't you think you should find the necessity of prayer in your life? He modeled it for us. John the Baptist was a man of prayer and taught his disciples how to pray. John the Baptist just a few things about him. He was filled with the Spirit in the womb. And Jesus said he was the greatest of prophets. The greatest of all prophets. Yet John the Baptist prayed. Do you think you need to pray? The disciples felt their need to pray and asked, Lord, teach us to pray. A great need for us to pray and a great need for us to get this. So simple, yet a child can pray, yet so profound. Even the greatest of Christians have not mastered the art of prayer. That's why these messages on prayer should give us a boost in our prayer life. And oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need it as a church. Oh, how we need it as a church worldwide, especially in the United Kingdom, where church is going down the tubes. There's a great need for prayer. Hudson Taylor, a story about Hudson Taylor, he found the necessity of prayer. Hudson Taylor, while in China as a missionary, he came home one day to find all of his supplies had been burned. So he went down the river to buy some more from another missionary. He preached along the way and he had coolies carry his baggage. But he came to find out that they were opium smokers and could not fulfill the job. And so he employed some others to carry his luggage because he's carrying lots of gear down a river and he's one man, so you understand. And so he employed some others and they stole his luggage. Well, he became very discouraged, as you can imagine, him trying to do God's work and finding nothing but opposition. Then he spent a miserable, sleepless night in a bedbug-infested hotel. Then he got up after that bad night's sleep, itching all the way, and walked in the sun all day long. Then to try and find a place for that night to sleep, he was turned away from several inns. And the police began to hassle him because he's kept getting kicked out of the inns. They didn't want him there as a foreigner. They began to hassle him and they put him into cuffs, thinking he was going to jail, spend the night in jail. So then he hired a guide to help him through the city, who then abandoned him. And then he slept in the streets where bandits were waiting to attack him when he went to sleep. And so he just sang all night and quoted scripture until they went away and daylight came. Now he's 2 days at least with little sleep that we know of from the story. Then the guy that had abandoned him comes back and demands a large sum of money for what he had done. Well, this took Hudson Taylor to the end of his rope. And he grabbed the man by his neck and picked him up and said, "You're not getting anything." He lost his temper. Hudson Taylor went away and he felt like God had abandoned him. Then he realized that he was in spiritual rebellion. And he had not asked God what to do after his supplies burned. That's what we so often do. We just walk and operate in the flesh instead of the Spirit. We do what we think is best. We walk in our wisdom rather than the counsel and wisdom of God found in prayer. So when he realized all this, He repented. He realized the error of his way. And that's what we do in prayer. When we come before Almighty God, a holy God, we find the holiness of God brings us to repentance, you see. And that's part of the problem in the church today. We don't come before God. And in light of the mirror of the Word, we don't come before a holy God. We come before our buddy instead. Our good old buddy. And so we don't repent. We don't see ourselves as we lack in comparison to the greatness and the holiness of God when we come before Him and find the purification that we can find in prayer. He repented, and when he got back home, he found a check he had received in the mail that covered all the cost of his burnt supplies. Now, whether these events would have been different or the same, we don't know if he would have prayed. But certainly much of his fret, his stress, his pain and suffering would have been alleviated by prayer. Do you find that yourself too? If we pray, we find the peace of God. We walk in the Spirit more. We find more fruit in our life. Do you find that? You find that prayer actually works. But yet we neglect prayer. And we need to evaluate why. So the first point today is the priority of prayer. We saw it in Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples wanted it. Hudson Taylor realized his lack. Although he was a great man of prayer, he realized his lack in this instant. You know, if we will pray and we have a priority of prayer in our life, because we realize the necessity of prayer in our life, we'll see our life change. We'll see an increase of power, effectiveness, discernment, and the hope we so need not to be discouraged in this walk. And we'll have a more effective spiritual walk if we'll pray. If not, we operate in the flesh, and our flesh, there's no good thing. And our flesh walks all the wisdom of us, or the wisdom of God can be found in prayer, the provision of God. Because you have not, for you ask not. And sometimes you have not because you ask amiss. You see, in prayer we find our heart, our true heart, when we come before God also. Prayer is so essential, so foundational, so basic, yet we neglect the basics. We neglect reading our Bible. We neglect prayer. Maybe some neglect church. Some neglect, you know, the basics. And so we want to neglect the basics, yet we want to see a great outcome in our life. This doesn't happen in any area of life, where the less you do, the better things happen. You know, you want to exercise, have a better health? Well, you've got to put effort into it. You've got to do the basics, don't you? You want to lose weight or get eat healthy? You've got to do the basics. So often we want to skip the basics in spiritual things and expect a different outcome than all of life tells us. So the priority of prayer is the first thing we want to look at in prayer that Jesus, I believe, taught us here. The next thing we want to look at is the person of God in prayer. And this is real simple. And kids, you really need to know this, because maybe you don't have a relationship with God yet. You're working off your parents' relationship. And let me just remind you that I was reminded by the church I went to visit at their 100th anniversary. You're not a Christian because your parents are. And you need to develop your own relationship with God at some point. And so you need to learn to pray too. And this is so important, I think, to realize who you're praying to. And that's what the second bit of what Jesus is teaching here is, realize to whom you're praying. Look at the verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Repeating that prayer alone really has no value unless you could really sincerely mean it and understand it, which I would say 99.9% of the people that repeat it do not. You could, possibly, if you knew what it meant and was meaning it from your heart. But more accurately, what God is looking for is an open relationship with you, a fresh and alive relationship with you that praises Him, starts out with praising Him and realizing who you're praying to. In actual, the order here, it's a great way to pray. There's a lot of benefits to starting out with praise and realizing who you're praying to, you see. So I think it will make your prayers flourish. If you realize who you're coming to, instead of, oh Lord, help me with my cold. Oh Lord, give me, bless me, habahu. And you're praying to the God who's not been answering your prayers, maybe because you haven't been coming enough, hard enough, or asking amiss, or maybe you're not doing it with your heart. Maybe it's a habit. Like so many people pray this prayer as a rote prayer, as a habit. Or maybe you pray a prayer at your meal, and it's just a habit. There's no connection with God made when you say, thank you, Lord, for our food. Do you realize that? You realize you can teach your very children to become Pharisees and hypocrites at the prayer, the dining table? You can rank and raise your children, and I say your children and ourselves too, to be hypocrites and Pharisees at the dining table in prayer. As you come to God and thank Him for your food and sincerely in your heart. You might go, well, we don't pray for our food. We're okay. But then you're not thankful, are you? Do you really know and understand that your food is a blessing to have today and it could be taken away at any time? We import all of our food because the government, in its infinite wisdom, has made the law so hard on your farmers that we have to import it from other countries. And we're ever at war, you're not going to have much food in this country. So you really need to think about that at any moment. War, it could be bombing right now in London and you wouldn't know it till you got home. And food supply is going to be cut off. Are you really thankful for your food? Are you really realizing that tomorrow what you have in the cupboard is going to dwindle? And that getting food may be long lines and empty shelves? Do you realize at any point that could happen? Not in Britain. Not in Great Britain, you might say. Well, most of your food's imported. They'd have to start planting crops and changing laws for you to get your food. You see, when we come to prayer, we need to realize whom we're praying to, and it will encourage you who you're praying to. But see, this needs to be a real spirit-filled, alive connection to God. Not, oh Lord, thank you for our food. Oh Lord, bless me, give me, hum, help me, hum. We can get to a road of, okay, I fulfilled my duty to pray, but you never connect with God, and it never be a prayer that God's really hearing. See, realizing who you're addressing when you pray will encourage you. You need encouragement in prayer, anybody? Sometimes maybe it feels like life is throwing you some lemons, isn't it? Life has made, maybe you've been sick for a long time. Maybe things aren't going well. Well, maybe you need to follow the prayer model here to encourage you in prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What is it trying to say here? Well, first of all, it's our Father. Intimacy, personal relationship you're coming to in prayer. You're not coming to some abstract God far away who doesn't have time for you. You're coming to your Father in heaven. Now, so I've heard some people who haven't had good fathers or don't have a father may have a hard time identifying with our Father. I also believe and know the exact opposite can happen. You can have a bad father or no father and know what a father should still be. So that when you pray our Father in heaven, you know what it is to be a father because you've seen God the Father and His example in the Word of God. If you're reading the Word of God, if you're doing the basics, to be encouraged by the Word of God, bring hope that the Word of God can bring you. It speaks, what is a father? A father has love. Like I told you guys who don't have children, until you have children, you'll never understand the depth of the Father's love. You children will never know how much your kids love you until you have your own. Because it's mind-blowing how much they love you. But our Father in heaven, what else is a father? I mean, you need to answer this for yourself. Because maybe you have a misconstrued idea of what a father is. Because maybe you're looking at your earthly father and making him like your heavenly father. I don't know, but some people say that people have a hard time identifying with a father. My father wasn't around much, but I don't have any problem identifying with God is there for me because I believe him at his word. He's omniscient. He's everywhere at once. He's available. A father's love and guidance. When you come to God, He's a father's love. Which you can only begin to scratch the surface of what that love is like. That He loves you so much. He loved you before you loved Him first. And He loved you in spite of everything you've done and everything you're going to do. He loves you. That's a father's love. That's how fathers and parents can love their children even when they go off the rails. And continue to love them and find hope that they'll change because they love them. And they're going to accept them. They're going to hang in there with them. A father's love is so important to understand that God's going to hang in there with you. You know, I've had a very interesting week with God this week myself. And I found myself doing something horrible to God in prayer. This week, I was praying and God revealed something to me. And basically, I was back-talking him and asking him why. I probably asked him why before in my Christian life, but I've never in my life back-talked God. You know, the gentleness of the Father, what he spoke to me clearly and said and put me. When God speaks, he puts me in my place one sentence and it's done. I'm sitting there back-talking God and asking him why. By the way, parents, your children aren't supposed to ask why. They're supposed to obey first. Children, you're supposed to obey, and then if it's appropriate, ask why. But don't ask why before you obey. That's what God's looking for all of us, and that's why God clearly spoke to me that day. And he said, Clint, you just rebuked your children for the same thing, back-talking you and asking why. And I shut up. Sorry, Lord. I realized I was not liking what God was telling me to do, which is very rare also, because I've been an obedient soldier all of my life. But he was telling me the hardest thing for me to do, which is to wait. And I didn't like it. You see, when we come to God the Father, I think of this loving guidance, this firm yet gentle hand. And I'll tell you this, if there's any attribute I lack and want more to be like God the Father's. I want to be firm but gentle hand. I've got a firm hand, but I'm not that gentle. And I would love to be more like God the Father, who knows how to answer me firm but gently. Oh, I would love to be like that. My greatest weakness. I spent 18 years with another missionary in our Christian journey. And as I left England, I said, hey, is there anything you can tell me to help me? And I know I've said this before, but that, you know me as good as anybody's ever going to know me. Is there anything you can tell me that would help me, that you know about me? He said, Clint, be more gentle. I was floored. Be more gentle? I couldn't believe that's what he would have gave to me. But I received it. I didn't understand it. But God's revealing it to me over and over again, 10 plus years now. How and why I need to be more gentle. When you come to a Father, the guiding, the loving, strong, firm, guiding hand of God the Father, but also just that love of the Father, gives us assurance when we pray, our Father in heaven. My children sometimes in appealing for something they want, and they're appealing with the wrong attitude or the wrong, something about it's not right. And I just always tell them, look, I love you guys. I want to bless you. You don't need to come to me that way and ask for things. I want to bless you. And we need to remember, when we come to God, God wants to bless you, but it's not always yes to what you want, because he doesn't produce spoiled children. So I want to give my children what they want, what they need, what's in their heart, but I don't give them everything they want when they want it. And I'm not going to give them everything they want entirely, because not everything they want is good for them. And that's parenting. So Jesus said, our Father, when you pray, realize who you're praying to. Our Father, a loving, guiding, firm, gentle hand. But see, the problem is our concept of God can be wrong when we come to him. And thus we need to get into the Word and be before God. And so we have the right attitude and the right thought about God. Because sometimes, churches and different things can portray God in a negative way. And God, the mean God, is looking to bust you or whatever. Pray our Father. When you pray our Father, it should bring natural expectancy. Like I say, I want to bless my children. When you come to him, you should realize who you're speaking to. It should bring expectancy and hope and prayer, because we're praying to our Father in heaven, who has all the resources, all the power, everything to answer that prayer. And then he says, go on to pray, hallowed be your name. That just means basically praise for who God is. Does any of your prayers have praise in them? Praising God for all of who he is. And that list is long. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to be separate or to praise him or to lift him up. Be his name means to encompass all of who God is, the person and character of God. Basically, who you're coming to is directly related to his ability to answer your prayers. That should bring hope and encouragement when we pray, if we're praying in faith. Now, God can still hear a prayer not in faith, by the way. I've had many answered that were not prayed in faith, and he still answered. Our hope in prayer is directly found in our hallowed be your name, our Father in heaven, because of whom we're praying to. We need to realize when we come to him, we praise him. Already starting out, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the prayers you're going to answer. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. Does any of your prayers have praise in them? Maybe that's where you're missing out. Maybe you're missing praise in your prayers. It will encourage you to pray when you realize who you're praying to, the Almighty, Omnipotent God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who loves you so much he never can take his eyes off of you. He keeps the number of hairs in your head counted. His thoughts of you are as many as the sands of the sea. This is who you're praying to. But see, we start out with praise and we're encouraged to enter into the presence of our Father in heaven. And if you have had a great father, you know what it is. And I hope to be a father like that. I want to be a father my children run to when they've done wrong, when they've done right. I've been so blessed in being sick lately with a bad heart and different things, and the kids being sick. I've been so blessed because I spent so much time in my little chair with all three of them. just sitting. My greatest, this heaven on earth for me. Heaven on earth is three children on my lap. Caleb, you're getting pretty big, but so I'm going to get a double seater so we can all fit still. But just, that's heaven on earth to me. They come down in the morning, I'm sitting there praying, and they come in and they just jump on my chair and, oh, I want to be like God the Father. And that's the God the Father. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence and find mercy and help in your time of need. That's the God the Father. But we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely who God is? But we can forget who he is. So we just coming to God because we're too busy for God. And we, Lord, give me, bless me, da, 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 help me with my cold. These little shallow prayers. God has something bigger for you. God has something way bigger for you, saints, children of the God, living God. He has something bigger for you than shallow prayers, a shallow walk. You're sons and daughters of the King. You're a holy priesthood. You're ambassadors of God. You're children of the Most High. And you have a hope of heaven and eternal life found in Him. Who is God? When you pray to Him, I mean, the list is forever, and I would love to go longer, but apparently I'm already running out of time. Hallowed be your name. His name encompasses all of who He is. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at once. That's who you're praying to. He's loving. He's your provider. He's your righteousness. He's your redeemer. See, our hope in prayer is in whom we're asking these things from. And you know, have you lost the word Almighty God? I don't hear it anymore. Almighty God. You're praying to Almighty God when you pray, who loves you. And the door is for you to run up on His chair to His throne and jump up and speak to you. Like I love with my children, to me that's heaven on earth. That's what God wants a relationship with you like. Where you delight to be with Him, where you want to spend time with Him, where you can tell Him everything. But see, we need to realize who we're speaking to. So in summary of what we talked about, we've looked at the person and character of God in prayer. We must realize by faith and all of who we find out in the Bible who God is, and we're praying to Him. That should equate praise. Hallowed be your name. Praise, holy and separate. There's no one like you, Lord. You see the passion that would come out in prayers if you just prayed what this meant right here? Praise you, God, for all you are. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You came once, you're coming again, you're building a place for me. Do your prayers have any passion for who He is? Passion for His name in His prayers. You'll forget about asking for your needs because you'll already in praise know that they're done because He knows what you need before you ask it. He still calls you to, you have not for you ask not. He still wants you to ask. You know, if we realize who we're praying to by faith when we're coming to pray, we won't despair in prayer. Rather, we'll find hope, strength, direction, and encouragement. We pray our Father, that intimate relationship of a loving, kind, yet firm hand, who will tell you the truth in love and gentleness and correct you on the path of where you're gone wrong and walking according to the flesh and the world. That you might find life abundantly in praying to God. That you might find that peace of God that transcends all understanding in the presence of the Almighty in prayer. Yeah, we hallowed be His name, praising for all He is, all He's done, and all He's going to do. That could take up probably all of your prayers. The time we give to God currently in the busy culture that we're too busy with all of our blessings. Run around like a chicken with our head off. No time to thank Him from whom all blessings flow. He's able, see? That's who you're praying to. God our Father, hallowed be your name, who is able. We must realize this in faith, who we're coming to when we pray, or we'll despair in prayer. We won't be motivated to pray. We won't find the hope, the strength, and direction. Instead, we'll have these mindless prayers as a duty, as a desperate plea to get God, knowing what you need when He's wanting so much more. He's wanting a father, son and daughter relationship. The kind maybe you've never known in human life, but He wants to give you the real father and child relationship. A loving, kind, gentle hand. That would be what I would want most. That'd be firm, yet have a gentle hand. Oh Lord, help me to be like You. Who can tell you the truth to the point it drops your head. When he tells you the truth and the power of God speaking in one sentence or one word can make you drop your head, drop your knees, raise your hands, dance and sing hallelujah. When you come before Almighty God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, that's what can happen in prayer. Are you encouraged to pray? I certainly am. The priority of prayer, the person of God in prayer. Are you encouraged to pray? I hope as a church we're encouraged to pray. I'll say sometimes we have open prayer and nobody prays. And I don't know if that's the British. Don't want to pray out loud, or maybe you've never prayed out loud in your life. But when we come into his house, and he said, my house should be a house of prayer, and we have a time for prayer, pray. If any time during worship you want to pray, pray, because his house shall be a house of prayer. Pray, lift him up, praise him. We come to worship. I went to teach at I can't remember their name. They're not Indians. Sri Lankan church. And they asked me to speak in London. And when they start out in worship, they start out, before the music plays, before the worship leader starts, they start praising God. They enter into worship with no music, with nobody prompting them. Praise you, Jesus, that I have food. Praise you that I'm not at war in Sri Lanka anymore. Praise you that you've given me children. Praise you that you've given me life. Praise you that I have a home today. Praise you. And they just start out. Praise you that I know you. And they just start out. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, you can do that in prayer and in praise. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, our Father, I come before you. Oh, jump up in his chair. It's heaven on earth to me. He loves you so much. So we're studying the necessity of prayer. And we'll look at that next week too. I hope you're encouraged to pray. I hope you overcome your fears in praying out loud in a crowd. And share before all people your God and your prayers. Whether they be prayers of defeat, prayers of repentance, prayers of praise, prayers of his kingdom come. But pray. We saw the priority of prayer. So we saw that Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples, Hudson Taylor all saw the necessity of prayer and made prayer a priority in your life. Kids, Ignite, will you go away and pray? Is prayer a priority in your life? Is your prayers, Lord, I lay me down to sleep with a bag of peanuts at my feet. And before I wake, I hope my brother Jake, whatever that prayer is, that's no relationship, no heart, no connection to God. You need to connect with God and tell him your greatest fears, your greatest joys. Talk to him like God the Father that he is. Priority of prayer will increase our power, increase our effectiveness, increase our discernment as we walk through a wicked world. Increase our senses to the Spirit and give us a more effective spiritual walk if we make priority of prayer an issue in our life. And then we talked about, and also in review, the person of God in prayer, our Father, that intimate relationship, that loving direction, that kind and gentle hand who can give you a word that will knock you to the floor. But yet you know the loving Father who has told you the truth that will set you free. Are you experiencing that in prayer? Hallowed be your name. Praise for all he is. Praise God. Thank you, God, that we have a home. Thank you we have food. Instead of going, we don't have this and we don't have that. And oh, the new Xbox is out and I don't have that. And oh man, I don't have an iPad and I don't have a new car. And man, woo. Be careful for complaining. Start praising for what you do have. The secret of contentment. You want to be content? It's not in having more. It's in being content with what you have and praising him for it. Whether you have little or much, learning to find contentment in little or much is the way of the contented life. Learning to live in obedience to him to find the abundant life where God blesses. We must realize in prayer who we're coming to, and when we pray, this desire to prayer, that we'd find hope, we'd find strength, we'd find direction and correction instead of praying a mindless prayer, a faithless prayer to little effect. Oh Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said. They saw the necessity of prayer, the priority of prayer, and they saw that they needed to learn the person of God in prayer. They need to praise him and lift him up for all that he is, because that's who you're praying to. It's a lot more encouraging when you pray to a God this small when you pray to Almighty God. You see, you need to make God big for who, because that's who He is. His character of love is a Father, loving Father. So that's our first bit on the necessity of prayer. And I hope that you will evaluate your prayer life. And next week we'll look at Thy Kingdom Come, praying about His kingdom, about His will, not your will. The faith mood that's got it so wrong. I want this done, and I claim it, and I command you, God, in Jesus' name. That is wrong. That is wrong. You come to Almighty Father, who is all-knowing, and you seek His will to do His will. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, not my will be done. That's why many of our prayers should be, if it be the Lord's will. Lord, we pray you would heal her of cancer if it's your will. Because you might have something far better, like a brand new body where there's no more sickness, pain, death, or crying in the presence of God. Remember, our hope is not found in this life. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ and the hope that is to come. We're just sojourners, pilgrims in this land. This is prayer, and we need to increase it in our life. We need to make time for it. We need to not be so, first thing we catch yourself. The first thing you pray for is me. Me, 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 me. How about this? I got a cold, Lord. You know, gosh, how many times are we going to pray for somebody's cold? When there's a plane of people, 240 people that's been down who've lost their family. When there's immigrants coming in from their country because there's no peace there. How many colds are we going to pray for? You'll be healed of your cold whether you pray for it or not. But there's this world has gone to hell in a handbasket. Open your eyes and look around and pray. Pray and have a compassion for what other people are going through. Pray and look around. Look around in this congregation and have compassion and pray. Get less of me and more of Him, that He might increase and I might decrease. He says, start out your prayers with Father. Praise you. Oh, Father, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise you. That needs to flow from our heart, a heart of worship, a heart of prayer. It should be a natural thing, although it's hard. We should be praying about His kingdom. We should be praying that His will be done. We should be praying. We should be confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. And we should be forgiving others. We should be praying that we wouldn't be led into temptation. We should be praying for our provision and thankful for it. O Lord, increase our prayers. Increase the depth of our prayers, O Lord. Increase our passion for You in prayer, O Lord. Give us an attentive, obedient heart in prayer, O Lord. Give us a passion for others and a passion for Your name in prayer, O Lord. Would You take this church and change it by prayer alone? In Jesus' name, amen.